You are now listening to Out of the Blank.
Welcome to another episode of Out of the Blank Podcast. He's back again. It's been 300 episodes. That's the army of 300, but in days. It's almost been a full pandemic.
300. That's unbelievable, isn't it?
You are.
But that, it makes me feel like a Spartan, you know, so just if you remember the film.
Rip your shirt off and just show your glistening chest muscles. Yeah. Did you know a lot of that movie, like that was all like just, what is it? Contouring?
Green screen.
Well, obviously they're not like in the middle of like, where would you film that? If that's a real place, I don't want to go there. But I'm saying like the contouring of the muscles, I thought all these people were like severely ripped. No, a lot of them were like, no, it's makeup. I'm like,
no way.
You know how many people were like, I'm going to go to the gym to be like one of these guys. And then they finally like, they do everything. They kill their family for steroids and then they get the muscles and they're like, finally, I'm like a Spartan. Like, yeah, dude, we use makeup for that. You're like,
could have painted that on.
Yeah. It's like those shirts you get on wish.com that give you like fake abs.
Or the ones where it's printed. Do you mean? Like...
They get better. They have ones now where like what it does is it constrains certain parts of your biceps and then certain parts of like your where your abs are. So it looks like an imprint there. So it actually looks like you have it, but then you take it off and you're just out of shape. And I'm like, man, clothes are like a big, I don't know if it's just me, but clothes, like I work at a gym facility. So when I see people come in, I see a lot of people like, I'm out of shape. I'm like, I don't think so. You look pretty good. But then they switch shirts or they come in with a different type of clothing. You're like, oh my God, I can see what you were talking about. It's like, you don't realize that black is very slimming.
Do you ever watch? Because one thing that I always end up watching relatively late at night, there's a program called Botched, which you might, it's an American program. It's two plastic surgeons in sort of LA somewhere, Dr. Dubrow and Dr. Nassif, I think his name is. But anyway, my point being, you're talking about sort of working out or whatever. There are lots of people that go, it's mainly people that have had bad plastic surgery that has gone wrong, and they're really good at what they do, and they fix it, and they make the, you know, there's lots of worthwhile stories in there. But you get the odd person who's, I don't know, there's a lady who wants to make herself look like a Barbie doll, so she's like had ribs removed and all that sort of stuff. But there's some men that go on there that I can't remember the guy's name, but it's one guy, he's had like pecs put in, he's had, instead Kendall. Of working out, he's
Human Ken doll.
Yes, that's probably the one. And it's just all silicone.
Yeah, he just recently got thigh things. He got thigh muscles in. But see, now I watched this whole Snapchat thing about it because I think it was a bunch of stories, but they compiled them into this whole entire story of this guy. I'm looking at him. I'm like, okay, you can see a lot of his muscles there aren't like natural ones. There's just weird spots where it's like it looks really good, but it's just you can tell that there's like it's all like just something's added in there. And he was like, today's the day where I'm going to get thigh transplant or thigh muscles included in. And I'm like, oh my God, I gotta watch this. And then it gets to the surgery part. They cut his fucking thigh like a fish. Like they just take a knife in, slice the whole end of it, and then stick something in there. And then he gets done. He's like, I'm not going to be able to walk for a couple of days. And I'm like, man. And then his mom's on his side supporting him and doing this. And I'm like, look, I get it. I've been the type of kid. I'm pretty sure maybe everybody at one point goes, what happens if I didn't have this? Or they've been self me. I have, you can't tell from a Zoom call, but I have a lot of freckles on my nose and all this type of stuff. I remember it clear as day. I was working at a water park and I was like, I really hate my freckles. This is like the worst thing about my person in general. Not that I'm an asshole or anything like that. Just my freckles. They're terrible. And this girl, like I remember because I was watching the show Supernatural and Jensen Ackles is on there. I was like, I wish I could like, he has no freckles. He's fucking gorgeous. And this girl just goes, you know, that's makeup, right? And I'm like, what? And she shows me a picture of Jensen without makeup. And he's got all freckles all over his face. I'm like, my life's a fucking lie. But I can get it because I remember being a little kid and I looked up how to get rid of freckles. And I would see, like, there's lemon juice. So I would be putting lemon juice on my nose and stuff and all this. And I remember my grandmom sitting me down and being like, hey, like, what's going on here? And I would tell her, like, hey, I'm self-conscious about these freckles and I want to change them. And she just goes, you are who you are. You know, sometimes the things that you consider the worst about you can sometimes be the best quality. And I'm like, and you don't really soak it in when you're 13 or when you're 12 years old. You're kind of like, yeah, whatever. And then you still think about it later. And then you fucking cry to a pillow or something like that. But it's real shit, man. I mean, people want to change things about them to make themselves look like what they want to be. And I'm like, you don't know. You could be as perfect. Someone probably thinks you're perfect out there, but she's.
And that's it.
Or she or he is probably dead. I'm just saying.
It's the grass is greener, isn't it? Always with this, that, you know. If you've got straight hair, you'll want curly hair. And the person with curly hair will want straight hair. And, you know, if you've got freckles and you hate the freckles, there'll be someone that hasn't got freckles who thinks, oh, I wish I had freckles. They look so cute. Is, you know.
What's your thing that you wish you didn't have?
Didn't have?
Or
I don't know. I could lose a lot of weight quite happily. And, you know, but it's never been anything that's sort of destroyed my confidence or anything like that. One thing, I mean, hair is something that hasn't been around for a long while, but
I couldn't again, picture you with it though.
I've got to see, I should have prepared. I have pictures, I will send you the picture of me with hair here when I was 17, maybe that long.
Did it get scary, like when it started going away, were you just kind of like, oh my god, what's gonna happen?
I got to a point probably in my early 20s that I'd shave it really short anyway. So that was quite good in the sense that it prepared me because it was so short. And that was through convenience. It was more of a, I'm sick of going to the hairdressers. So me and my friends used to just like pair of clippers, just get rid of it all. And yeah, so over the years, as it's gradually sort of gone, hey.
I'm jealous of the people that know how to shave their own head like that. I spent $20 on like a shit haircut. And then sometimes it's good depending on what the Zoom call looks like. Like right now, it looks like a travesty.
And that's the thing. I always used to go to the hairdressers and have this experience where I'd sit there and think, and I'd be sitting there and I was just too polite at the time. So sitting there thinking, I don't want this like anymore. And then they'd do it and show you with the mirror and say, oh, is that okay? And you're like, oh yeah, that's brilliant. And then get out and think, what have I done to it?
So, I usually just get, like, I go to this place where it's like everybody that always works there is always pissed off. They've been there for like 30 something years and they just start cutting without asking what I want. And I'm like, oh, I didn't even fucking tell you what to do. Like I could want to be bald. You're like, you're going to get whatever I feel like you should get. I'm like, okay, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. It's kind of like my rule of thumb when I go to like a Wawa or if I go to like a food place, like a Chipotle, I'm just like, make it how you would make it. And they're like, what? I'm like, I'm going to trust you because it's either I'm going to learn something new that I'm going to break out of my own little comfort zone and get something new, or you're going to make it horribly and I'm never going to want to eat here again. So it's a good or bad take.
Yeah. Chipotle is nice. I haven't had Chipotle. Last time I was in the States was in New York, probably, I don't know, 15 years ago, and having Chipotle then, amazing. Don't have it in the UK, though.
So, you know. It's okay to not have it. It's not the best anymore.
You're pretty used to it, though, aren't you? To me, it's a novelty. It's like... You
know, I've only eaten it once, and I've had a very, very bad experience there. I usually just go to... Yeah, I usually just go to Wawa, which is actually the point I was going to bring up and how I was going to start this thing before we got down this crazy rabbit hole of botched surgeries and people that look like human fuck dolls. but what I was going to talk about was I've been having the best day so far. And I know it's still kind of early over here, but I went into this gas station at like 4 a.m. It's called a Wawa. Now, I don't know if you know what a Wawa is, but there's only specific types of these on the East Coast. But if you ask anybody from like anywhere on the East Coast what a Wawa is, they'll tell you straight up. It's like a 7-Eleven. That's like, but this is like exclusively for over here, but they're as big as like a 7-Eleven if you're on the East Coast. It's kind of like IHOP. Remember what IHOP was like, this big fucking, like, you've never had it in the UK?
No.
You missed out, bro. a nice chocolate chip pancakes, and they have like 50 things of syrup on the table. And you're like, what's this syrup? They're like, that's blueberry. What's this one? That's strawberry. What's that one? That's cranberry. You're like, that sounds fucking awful, but I'm going to try it anyway. You just dump it all over. I remember I was with my grandma, and she was like, cause we worked at the same water park. So every morning, like over the summer, we just go into work. We either get like McDonald's, like a hash brown or a biscuit. And then we get, like IHOP or something like that. And she was like, what do you want? I'm like, I don't know. Like, you make really good chocolate chip pancakes. How about we get chocolate chip pancakes? And she's like, sure, let's get chocolate chip pancakes. And she makes them basic. Like, you know, you put the chocolate chips in the batter and then there you go, chocolate chip pancakes. IHOP, they drop this plate of chocolate chip pancakes. The whole fucking pancake is chocolate. Like, it's an actual chocolate pancake. And then there's chocolate chips in the and I'm like, you're going to have to step up your fucking game next time you make breakfast. And she's like, no fucking way. That does not look healthy at all. But no. Back to the Wawa thing. Two things. One really good thing that happened this morning was that I went in and I saw a shit ton of Amish people. And I'm like, oh my God, the one guest I've never gotten for this podcast. And then like, also at the same time, I'm happy you're alive and coronavirus didn't kill you guys. Cause I know you guys, you had no idea, but they were waiting on their food and you have to do a touchscreen order type thing. And the first thought goes in my head goes, I thought you guys weren't allowed to use technology. So how did you touch that? And I'm guessing it's like they were all younger. So I'm guessing it's that period where they go out into the fucking world and get to see if they want to sow their wild oats and come back or just stay out into the world and be a horrible person like the rest of us. but I went up to one of them and I was like, hey, I was like, are you Amish? And they're like they kind of look surprised, like, yes, but I don't even know how to do their accent. It's like, yes. And I'm like it sounds Swedish. And I'm like, can I ask you a couple of questions? And they're like, what? I'm like, one, will you do my podcast? And they're looking at me like I was some alien. And I was like, all right, let me skip to the next question. I was like, did you guys drive? I didn't see any like
horses or cars.
Yeah, I didn't see any horses and buggies. And they just kind of looked at me and didn't give me an answer, like they were still questioning things. And then I go, all right, it's been a couple minutes now, you're not answering me. So how did you guys order food? And then the woman in the back who's making the sandwiches goes, I had to do it. All of them, every single one of them, 15 of them, they're there. I had to order all. They didn't know what to get. And I had to sit there and touch the screen. I'm like, oh, okay. And it's 4 a.m. So I'm not going to sit here and engage in a full on conversation. But I was like, this is awesome. I was glad to know the Amish are still around.
Yeah. That's mad. I've never encountered an Amish person either, so you know.
I'm just surprised they choose to like sow their wild oats in my town, considering that like if there's like an off brand of any popular place, this is what this town is. I consider it like, you know, there's some places like Silicon Valley where it's like all these amazing tech people come from there. And it's like, it seems like that area is just littered with like, it must breed like amazing people. My town is like that. But the people that are here are trash. And then it goes to this point where like the town's like, you're supposed to be number one. That's what the town is set up to be. This famous lifestyle, clubs, bars, and all these things. And everyone here is like, I remember some person told me, they were like, I want my son to meet a famous podcaster from Ocean City. And I'm like, I actually might be famous for around here. There's not a whole lot of fucking good that comes out of here. We had like a crack dealer that got on the news. I think that was it.
What you need to do is you need to call on the market. If there's Amish and they have that period of sowing their wild oats, you need to be the go-to guy. You know, you can sort of call on that market of come and get it.
Do you like watching the world burn? Is that what you want? Do you want me to watch the... it's funny because you call yourself King P, right? King P.
Yeah.
King Porteous. Okay. Wonderful.
Yeah,
maybe with the Amish.
But you can call me Matt, because on the podcast we used to start with King P and Stelio 7, and that was because I call myself King Porteous primarily online because I make music and stuff, and James's Twitter handle was Stelio 7, so we'll use that.
I remember when I first had you on my show, we had to make sure you use your real names and stuff like that. I was afraid I was going to get my organs sold and killed.
No. But now we can't be bothered. We just call each other Matt and James. So, you know, it's...
I think I was talking to James about it when he was on his episode. I was talking to him. I said, yeah, I'm really enjoying the show with the interview styles and stuff like that. I think it's interesting. You know, you guys definitely change it up. And I know when I was on, I was like, you really examine, like, you guys have such, like, interesting people to talk to. Like, mostly it's like you guys are like trying to get these guests that are way up there, like you're chopping up at a higher thing. And I'm like, then why the fuck did they choose to chop low and grab me on there? Like, it didn't make sense.
No, no. Robbie's rage was the highlight.
It's been big thing in my show now, Robbie's rants. I tend to go on these 15-minute, 20-minute tangents where my guest is like, what just happened? but when you call yourself King P, for instance, you just brought up the thing of the Amish. Could I be like the Jarl of the Amish people? Like that's what I like. It's like when people bought land for no apparent reason, I'm getting a square inch in Africa. It's like, they're going to call me the Jarl of Derbyshire. And you're like, what? They're just telling you, you bought a piece of land. You don't know if you actually own it. It's like when they say you're saving this dolphin. And it's like, I bet that dolphin is dead and made into boots already.
True. Oh, naming a star. That's, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen that, how you can prove, apart from the certificate that you printed, that, how'd you prove that?
I mean, I guess it's kind of cool. I mean, I consider the worst one probably is when they take a collection of like a person's memories and they make like a line. Each line represents a different paint thing or something like that. And they mash it up together. So it's a bunch of different, like, it looks like a rainbow kind of colors of your memory, but it's associated to you. And I'm like, I can't, but you can't look close enough to see the memory. So I'm like, it's just a bunch of fucking different colored lines. I'm like, it's kind of what I did with my new shirt I just put up. I was taking a bunch of different lines and I made it all until overlapping and all these cool designs. It looks good, but it's like, it's just fucking different colored lines that I put in a randomizer thing. It's not difficult. And that's kind of what that thing is. And I'm like, people will buy fucking anything. Some dude bought an invisible person sculpture for $15,000 or some shit like that.
Did you see the, there was a chicken nugget that sold this week, which was, do you know the game Among Us? Have you heard of that?
Oh, the game. That? Yeah, sorry, your accent.
The game Among Us, when they're like little astronauts. This chicken nugget looked like one of the astronauts. And what? Someone bought that. It's like a
Darth Vader potato chip.
Yeah, it's just weird.
What? Okay, if you had $1 billion or so, would you spend unreasonable things on that, or would you actually help out the world? You could be honest. Nobody's going to judge you if you say,
no,
buy Satan shoes.
I think the thing is, it gives you your... If you're comfortable, if you've got $1 billion, you can be comfortable in your own existence. Like, you don't have to worry about anything. You can have a house. You don't have to worry about rent. You don't have to worry about a mortgage and things like that. And then I think it does give you that freedom of who else I can help. And I think, yeah, sincerely, I do it. I think that would start with your friends, and you'd think of, right, okay, James, can I help him out in any way? Or, you know, whoever, can I help family out in any way so that they're in a comfortable position? Definitely. I would also buy stuff. You know, don't get me wrong. It would be.
What's, you know, stuff?
Stuff. My dream always is to, I would like, you know, did you ever watch sort of like Mythbusters or those sort of programs? But, you know, like a warehouse that I could do cool shit in is the way I would describe it. I could, you know, we could record our podcast in there. I could have a studio in there. We could build stuff. It would just be like a playground, but like, or what was his name? Rob Dyrdek, the skateboarder. I don't know if you remember. Dyrdek. Yeah.
It's literally Dyrdek. That's how you say it. Yeah. I only corrected you because you can't change that. That's awesome that his last name is like that. Dyrdek.
What he did with his, I can't remember what it's called, but he had that show and he had like that big skate park.
Robin Big. Like, just
built stuff. Yeah, Robin Big. That was it.
I used to, there was a kid in my school who was like a bigger kid. His name's Shandon. And that's what people call us, Robin Big. So we'd always hang out and stuff like that. And then, that was when that show was super popular. It's kind of like Viva La Bam, where it was like that show and Robin Big was like this huge, like big, that was in MTV, was actually music. And then they had that starting of a show. And then it's just been a decline into what happens when you get pregnant at such a young age, your life goes to shit. You start hating your kids, locking them in a closet until you walk in one day and they're just dead on the floor.
That's it.
It's horrible, but it's true. See, that's,
did you have a miniature pony though? That's the thing. Because, you know, remember he had a miniature pony.
I was a poor kid, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I had everything I kind of needed when it came to like a backpack for school, but then I always got too high and left it at home. Where's your stuff, Robbie? I don't know. Do you know where you're at?
I don't know.
See, now if I had $1 billion, I've been starting to think about this question. I think I always wanted to isolate myself a little bit more, like a small little house, but now I'm starting to look at like, I would definitely build like a really good, like maybe a one bedroom house with like a studio, but I want a giant window. Like overlay. Yeah. So how I'm sitting at my desk right now, I want in front of me to be a giant window instead of a closet and a bunch of like old records lined up against the wall. I just want a window with like a pond over the water or something like that.
Nice.
But then I started thinking, there's another side to me. There's the serious me and then there's the very funny one. And sometimes these conflict together at some points. This one, I'm like a nice serious like lake, beautiful like crane flying by, like this beautiful thing, maybe get like a little like couple trees, bushes or something, not so much to where it covers the view but it looks peaceful and like, yeah, like oh, I could definitely sit down and just drink a nice hot chocolate in a white sweater, curl up against it like all you see. You know what I'm talking about. By a roaring fire. And then I'm like, what happens if I filled that lake with alligators and I just slowly release small animals to watch and torment as I'm podcasting with someone like, oh God. And it's like, what? Nothing. You said something very shocking. It's like, really? I just saw an alligator tear off a bunny.
You could have them on a slingshot from your, you know, if you have a balcony outside your window and just sort of fire them.
It's like in my town when we have seagulls in my town. I don't know if you know what seagulls are.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Horrible.
Huge as well. Yeah.
I think I watched a video this morning of like 5 minutes of a pigeon attacking a seagull, like just killing it. I mean, they're vicious as shit. I did not know. I was like, I'm gonna let you shit wherever you want at this point, because that was horrible. But in my town they put up a fine of $1,200 if you kill a seagull, because what people were doing, because they were getting so pissed at these seagulls, someone found out if you feed them Tums it makes their stomach explode. So then people are just tossing Tums out on the street like crazy, and all these seagulls were dead everywhere, and I was like, this is horrible.
Isn't that the same if you throw a frog upside down? Isn't that supposed to happen?
That it explodes. Something like that.
I think so, yeah.
If you throw a frog upside down?
I'm sure it's, something like that.
How big's the throw?
Don't know.
Like, you know those kids that toss a half-court shot in school, and then there's the kids that granny arm it into the hoop? It's like... one gets the job done and the other one looks like you're an idiot. So it's like, I don't know which one's the right answer. I guess it depends on the person. Do you want to look cool while you shoot a shot? Because even if you are the best shooter in the game, if you're granny arming it every single time, no kid is wearing your fucking jersey. Like, it's not happening.
I saw a story the other day and I thought, we have to talk about this because this is a Robbie story. So I know you like these sort of things, right? In Siberia, and I don't know if you saw this, in Siberia, they analyze the permafrost and they like drill right down into the ice and then can see over like thousands and thousands of years. And in it, they found this worm. It's like this microscopic worm. It's like really, really simple sort of biologically. But it's really sort of hard wearing. It's resistant to a lot of things and it's really hard to kill it. But anyway, this worm was from 24,000 years ago. And when they defrosted it, it's still alive. It came back to life instantly after they defrosted the thing.
It was a worm?
Yeah. Well, that's a little microscopic worm.
Worms are like invincible. You can cut them in half and they're still like, there's two now.
That's what they tried with this thing. They cut it in half and it did the same thing that worms do. Yeah, you then have two worms.
Is it two worms though, or is it just a defense mechanism with its tail that it starts going around?
Two halves. I don't know.
Because that's what snakes do.
A garden worm has that sort of bit in the middle, doesn't it? Where you... It
looks like a Band-Aid.
Anyway, and it is, yeah, exactly like that. But just the thought, imagine it, like something 24,000 years old comes to life again. Kill and it. Is then part of our world. That's like a standard horror movie sort of bio, isn't it?
Can we just bring back my mascot at that point? I would like to just bring back my dodo bird. Like, that's all I want. I want to see if he's really an asshole or if he's like this nice little like smart. Imagine if it could speak like, hey, I'm not as dumb as you all think I am. Like that's a that's a reference now. People call people dodos.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I would like to bring back some dead stuff, but see if I had $1 billion after I make that awesome, horrible scenario with the window, I'd probably donate a lot of it or at least keep some for my, or I'd probably start up a company, but I want to donate, or I want to start up a company that benefits people that don't really have a voice in a way. Like, I think I'll probably want to help ex cult people out a little bit more than I would maybe want to give to the blind. Cause I feel like that's a really popular one. I don't want to follow the trend. I don't know.
It'd be good. So when you've got your Joe Rogan style Spotify deal, that
dead before,
you
know, that
handed to you.
Good God. So you threw me off with the Band-Aid. I got the Band-Aid worm in my head now. Is it two worms though, or is it just one? Because when you cut off a snake's tail, it flicks around and wraps around as a like defense mechanism.
Muscle reflex, isn't it?
Yeah. So I'm like, is that two worms, or are you just making one a cripple?
Because otherwise, how do worms breed and things like that? I don't know how that sort of thing.
That's
works.
A Google search. How do worms fuck? I never even thought about that.
There's a YouTube video for it.
I bet there's a whole damn blog dedicated to it too.
You need to find a worm expert to come on this show, and he'll show you, I'm sure.
Do you see, when I talk to people, I started realizing that I'm never going to be able to talk to every single like job or any type of whatever interest, because they're so very niche now. You could talk to someone who researches badger fucking, and then it's like, but I only specifically research this. And that's a real one. That's someone who denied doing my show because he wanted his work to be taken seriously, research that topic. And I'm like,
no way,
bro, come
on. But why? What was the, what's the end goal?
He saw my tweet that he didn't like my tweet.
Oh,
I put up a Twitter's just jokes. Twitter's like philosophers and joke artists. And I'm like, I want to fall in between both of them. So I just decide to like screw around. And I was like, during the whole mask thing, I was like, does a ball gag count as a mask? And then there were people that were like, if it covers your nose, and as like a joke. And then there were some people that commented like, if it covers your nose. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't think people understand the joke. I guess the gif I added below it of Baby Yoda really didn't sink in.
Can you get one printed though? So no, I've seen ones where it's someone's had it printed, so it's a mouth or a goatee or something. You need to get a ball gag mask printed.
First of all, I'm very vanilla when it comes to anything in the bedroom. I can't. I've been in one of the, you ever been in one of those dark corner stores where it's like, here's a collection of our amazing DVDs and awesome print t-shirts. And then you go, and then there's the back section. It's like Bed Bath & Beyond where they go in the back to meet Marty. You go in the fucking back and there's just chains, whips, cranes, automobiles, planes, trains, bears, lions, tigers.
Is it behind the curtain though? Do you have to go through the curtain?
It's made of beads. So if you want to call that hiding something when you can clearly see through it. But
that's to let everyone know you're going through as well. And they hear the
it's an alarm system. Do you remember those back in the day? They were like selling spy gear for you to have in your house. Like, if anybody, you can set up this laser and it'll trigger a sensor. And kids would buy it thinking it's going to keep their parents out of their fucking room.
Yeah.
I think it caught my dad drunk one time. And then the rest of the time, they just fucking turned it off before they went in. I don't know. Could never get it.
That's it.
The world is fascinating to me, mostly because I think, as much as I'm afraid of technology, I also tweeted at Elon Musk and I was like, Elon Musk, if you can't come on my show for an hour, then can you come to my house and sit on my back porch as you teach me how to become a weapon against the corporate elite? I never got anything back, but I'm like, that's what I would do. You know what? If we're going to talk about a RoboCop scenario where like we're going to make him fight against crime or something, I'm like, I will get whatever enhancement it takes to fight against these political or anybody who has a significant amount of power, because I just feel like people say you got to punch up. I agree when it comes to power, but when it comes to comedy, I think you can swing it wherever the hell it should go.
Yeah. Well, so we've that lots of money, and they call it fuck you money, don't they? You get to a point, I don't know what it is, maybe like hundreds of
Johnny Depp money. Johnny Depp money.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he, what did he do? He launched Hunter S. Thompson's ashes in a rocket into the sky because he wanted to.
Right. I love that's your example of Johnny Depp's richness, not the fact that he owns 46 something houses and he doesn't live, he only lives in one. He just keeps the others for appeal and they're all like billions of dollar houses. Then he bought every house in his neighborhood and the one house he could not buy, his neighbor would not sell because his neighbor's like, I've been here since the 70s. My great grandfather built this land. And he's like, okay. So what he did was, since he couldn't buy it, he built a statue of a giant middle finger flicking off the dude's house.
No way.
That's fucking Johnny Depp money.
Yeah. All he does is drink fine wine, I think, doesn't he now? You know.
I think there's a couple of people that you do. You, all right. Do you believe this, that you can forgive anybody for something that they do, depending on how famous or how rich they are?
No, definitely not. Okay. And I think that's what's good now, right, is that a lot of people are being held accountable for a lot of things. And I think in right and wrong, though, because there's something in the UK at the moment where there's some cricketers that have. Someone's dug out their tweets from 10 years ago, and this guy was 18 years old. And he said things he shouldn't, and they weren't things that were right. But people are judging him on his career and saying he should lose his job now based on things 10 years ago. And like tweets and stuff like that, look, if you're 18, you've said things you probably shouldn't have done. But, you know, that's on public record for those people. But, you know, they're different people now, and I think you should give them the benefit and the doubt. But there are lots of people now that it's coming out and they've done awful things in the past. And I think, you know, too right, they should be held accountable for it. Definitely, you know, and should they be forgiven? I guess it depends on the weight of what they've done, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think I agree on that point.
A good example, like I was watching this week, you know Ren and Stimpy?
Yeah, no, Ren and Stimpy. How old do you think I am?
Love Ren and Stimpy. Well, it's not around now, is it? So the guy, there's a documentary about Ren and Stimpy and the making of Ren and Stimpy. It's really interesting. But the guy who did it, who sort of created the characters and was like the figurehead of the sort of animation and stuff like that, he doesn't do anything anymore. And he's left the sort of being an animator and that. And because it was found out that he used his fame to groom teenage girls, basically, you know, and he was having relationship with like these 16-year-old girls and stuff.
Is that the one with the audio clip where they have like audio of him telling the girl like that she needs to take her clothes off for the audition? And she's like, why wouldn't I just take my clothes off for the scene? And he was like, well, we need to get an audition.
And this guy, basically, he put fans, and there was a girl on the documentary who was a fan and wanted to be an animator and wrote to him and said, you know, I love your work. You know, thank you for creating Ren and Stimpy, blah, blah, blah. And he used that as a sort of, oh, yeah, come and see me. And then, you know, when she was 16, got her to move in with him and just had that trend of having these sort of interns and then turned them into his girlfriends. Which, you know,
see, now this is where I understand like why feminists act like so aggressive sometimes about this stuff is like it does happen. It's yeah. I watched an audio tape of a guy and like doing an audition. You just hear the guy's voice go, okay, let's call her Clara, welcome. You're auditioning for the scene. Well, just before we get the part, we're gonna, you know, send your audition, we're gonna do a tape. So I just need you to take off all your clothes, and you know, get ready to, you know, just rehearse. And she goes, why wouldn't I just take my clothes off when the actual thing is? Why would I do it all right now when we're not? I'm not getting paid right now. Like, I'm not getting paid for the audition. This is free thing. And he's like, yeah. And then she goes, no, I'm not going to do that. He goes, so you're not going to do it? And she goes, okay. And then she walks out. And then he goes, can't get them all. And it's on the recording. Mm-hmm. Like, can't get them all. And I'm like, sometimes you have that one that won't happen. And he's like explaining it, and I'm like, see, this is what people see where they get outraged by this. But to say that that only happens to women is the problem that I have, because I've been, you know, I've been sexually assaulted multiple times in the fucking just in my normal day job. And then it's like, as soon as it's, if it's the other way around, if it's a woman accusing, like, I remember this girl like said that I hit her, and I never did. I'm not that type of guy. I think you know that about me. And a bunch of people in there were like, what? And she was just overreacting and being super dramatic over something like towels at a hotel. Like, we were trying to, you have carts of towels for the people to go take up into the housekeeping rooms. And I was saving a cart for someone who was showing up late to make sure that she wasn't going to be the last one, because she was on my floor. And this girl tried to grab it from me, and I just held the cart still and just wouldn't let her have it. And she goes, and like backs away, like she just got hit. And she goes, you hit me? You hit me? And I'm like, what? And then everyone's like, what are you talking about? And then she starts screaming and getting over dramatic and then yelling and screaming. And I just walked out because I couldn't handle it. And the supervisor came down, and they didn't see it. And they were talking to me, and I was like, look, I didn't do it. And a bunch of people stood to my side, said I didn't do it. I'm like, see, it's a complete opposite. It's the same thing as the OJ law. Whenever a domestic violence happens, the guy is always taken away. You don't know if the girl's the aggressor, but it's just how society views things. There's no gender equality when it comes into that standards. There's no equality in a bunch of different things. And then they can't see that other point. And that's when I get mad. I'm like, you have to understand there's a case, there's cases on both. If there's more on one, sure. But to say that it's not on both is to completely just toss it out the window.
It's a good, I think we're living in a time where things are, people find it really difficult to take on board, but times are changing so much. I think, you know, society have gone through this thing, particularly with social media, where it's sort of, I know you've gone to the extreme with some of the senses of like the social media, but it's helped society in a way that it has made people accountable. You know, it's given people a voice, and it's given, you know, people that have been wronged an opportunity to speak up. And, you know, in some cases it helps, in some cases it obviously doesn't. But
yeah, Kevin Hart's the best example. His new specials on Netflix, and he did it in his house. He walks down into his basement, and there's a whole stage set up in his basement with a bunch of people in there wearing a mask and stuff like that. And he goes, you know, he couldn't do the Oscars or the whatever that was because someone took a tweet that he said 10 years ago and used it against him. So he decided not to do it. And he was like, anything that I do now, I can't do anything because you all are fucking snitches. And he says that to all the whole audience. They're all laughing. And he goes, I remember eating a burger out on the street and someone's videotaping me. And before I even saw what happened, I just tweeted, I'm sorry, and made an apology, public statement. It turns out I put up a tweet a month ago saying I was going vegan. And then someone took a picture of me eating a burger. And it's like, I get it. I mean, I think now we're getting to an era where people are just going to say whatever the fuck they want. Like, I think this show initially was like trying to get some, sometimes it's severe thought and sometimes it's just humor and comedy and stuff like that. I'm like, if you really think I want to see fucking bunnies and all this stuff get ripped up by alligators, then you're fucking nuts. And if you think I'm going to spend any time trying to go back and forth with you, trying to calm you down and show you I'm not this person, I don't give a fuck. And I'm like, at this point, it's like, I'm not famous. I'm not anything. I think that's what people are like now, is like, what's fame? You can lose that at any moment. So why would you even care about wanting to get it? But it's just how the optics look. You really want people to love you. And we live in a society where love isn't dished out. Like, it's, I'm not saying you have to go kiss and hug everybody, but at the same time, you should be able to be like, yeah, you're a cool guy. Or you're like that. People like compliments. It feels fucking good.
Yeah, exactly. Bit of empathy. Yeah, that's all it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
That you need. Yeah, definitely. And I think the past year has been a year of that, in a way. I think on a more personal level, I think for a lot of people, people have been forced into isolation in many instances. And not being able to see their family or not being able to see their friends, and, you know, in certain circumstances and that. And it does make you sort of think, wow, you know, what have I got? What am I grateful for, really? You know, that's the important thing, I think. And certainly something that I've taken from, you know, I don't know how it's been for you in the US, but sort of in the UK, we've had months and months and months of lockdowns and, you know, not being able to do things or go places. Or I've been working from home for over a year now, and things like that. You know, it's huge changes to you.
I think it's for the good. I think it's I think a lot of these changes that people have, they're really starting to realize a lot of things about themselves. I think one thing I tweet about is like, you start to realize how much of power you have in your own life that you thought you had so much, and you realize it's a bigger thing than you. If they choose to never want you to leave your home, you really can't have a choice in that matter. You know, we can try and control the things about our own lives and where our own destiny goes. But I even made up this little conspiracy theory that kind of made a little bit of sense. I was like, the government needs to tax everything. And he's like, it's like Bitcoin. They're starting to crack down on Bitcoin. A lot of people are starting to realize that, and it's going to transition into another stage of currency now that they finally got it pegged after all these years. But I was like, maybe that's with artists. Whenever you see an artist, like, why is this guy so popular? It's because he found a way to make a lot of money that couldn't be taxed. And the government was like, he's an artist, so we need to raise him higher than everybody else, so he looks like an exception to the rules. And I'm like, holy shit, that actually makes a little bit of fucking sense. But I was like, yeah, this is where you can go down to a rabbit hole. I think the big thing right now is like trying to find the truth of over this whole pandemic and this whole lockdown situation. And man, it's hard because you want to act with emotion. You want people not to say that it's this or that, and then it get linked to racism and all this stuff. And I'm like, I just want to know the fucking truth. But at the same time, I think a lot of people need to understand, you got to equip your own mentality a little bit too. This lockdown thing was very, very drastic on a lot of people's souls and a lot of people's minds. If people weren't taking the time to expand those out, you know, you're sitting around just pondering how much of like your life is in shit, how much time you're wasting. I think that's the big thing, is a time waste, especially for me. Like, I'm 23, but I'm sitting here like, fuck, I'm so behind. I'm seeing exes get married. I'm seeing exes have kids. I'm seeing all this shit where I'm like, oh my God, my podcast is as old as this relationship my friend's in that he just got married the other day. And I was like, holy shit. Like, am I wasting time doing this? Or is this eventually going to help me come across somebody or come across something that might benefit my life or get to this point? And I'm like, you got to do it to have fun. Because I'm banking on the fact that I think it's helping me find out what I want to do, which is clothing brand. I like the clothing shit.
Nice. Well, what sort of thing? Like any specific style or type or, you know?
Dude, I have a shirt with a fucking dodo bird on it, and there doesn't need an explanation because it just has out of the blank under it. And you're like, that works. It works.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I think it's fun.
There's a series of documentaries on. There's a guy who does documentaries called Adam Curtis, who you should look up because I think you'd really like it. And he talks that the best way to describe sort of what he talks about is sort of how how society works, how society has got to where it is, and how we were ultimately fucked in a lot of ways is the best way to describe it. And it's sort of, there's one he done called The Century of Self, and it was all about how it was Sigmund Freud's nephew. I can't remember his exact name, but he invented PR, and he used a lot of Sigmund Freud's psychology to basically, in America at the time, it was people only bought what they needed, which was great. You know, if they needed a hammer, they'd buy a hammer, but they wouldn't buy two hammers because they didn't need two hammers. And it was sort of using psychology to, instead of sell people what they need, sell people what they aspire to have. And it's that whole, you know, saying, oh, you'll be much more handsome if you own this car, or you'll definitely get the girls if you have this. And it talks about all that sort of stuff. But in a few of his things, the overriding thing is humans think they have control. Like, they think that they're in control of their own destiny. But in reality, life doesn't work like that. You know, something may happen tomorrow that you have no idea is going to happen, and you can't stop that from happening. But what humans do is they build lots of sort of patterns and routines into their life. Like, we'll go to work and we'll have certain friends and we'll do a certain thing on a Wednesday and so on. And it gives us that comfort of control. Like, we think we're in control of our own destinies, but in reality, not so much. You know, it's still in the world, and the world still, you know, you could meet someone tomorrow that you had no anticipation of meeting, and it could take your life in a completely different direction as such.
I think more than ever, I especially recently been talking a lot about like Illuminati type stuff, but I think the main thing here is the starting block to kind of the downfall of the world was that a bunch of people found a way to make money and become these major like capitalism type things, which capitalism is bad, I would say. I think capitalism is this type of thing. It's just someone going and getting. What's the difference between capitalism and hustling or grinding to get your fucking goals? You're doing the same shit. Just one sounds more corporate and the other one sounds more free. And at least in my perspective. But when I look at like all these, like imagine way back in the day before America or any of these countries started being these giant rolling blocks of where it is now. Just a bunch of people were like, hey, you know, it was like, it's the best example I'd give you would be when they Operation 119, when they were going to launch a nuclear missile at the moon to blow it up just to show how powerful we are. That was the idea. Now, if I pitch you like, hey, we got to show these other countries that we're not to be fucked with. Imagine someone's going to come to your fucking house from another country when they invade us and take your family from you. And all we have to do is launch a nuke at the moon to show them how powerful we are. Are you going to say no to that? A lot of people are gonna be like, fuck no, I'm not going to lose my family if we can just do this simple thing that's not going to affect anybody here. But then some dude in the back just goes, hey, if we launch a nuke at the moon, that's going to eliminate all research or us being able to ever understand its full capacity because we just completely ruined it. And you're like, well, thank God for that guy whispering in the fucking back. I think that's the main thing with a lot of this stuff is like, a lot of these people found a way to make money and capitalize on a market and do these business investments and didn't worry about the effect it was going to cause later because their mentality was, that's not going to affect me. I don't give a fuck if it affects somebody else way down the line. It's not affecting me if you're telling me I can get rich right now. And that's the mentality we have today. People will do something without giving a fuck what's going to happen with future generations. When we talk about plastics slowly sterilizing the human race and we talk about, you know, whatever water pollution, air pollution, earth, whatever. It's, we're not caring about way, way down the line. We're not looking at the long game. We're looking at what's going to make me money right now so I can stop suffering. So I understand from that, like I will do anything to stop the pain, but I'm not, if you're telling me I have to still be in pain just to save a bunch of people that I don't even fucking know, why would you do that?
Yeah. And that's unfortunately not how human nature works, is it? It is fair. And as you said, you know, if you're, in a situation where you know, naturally you're going to think, well, I need to make sure I've got a roof over my head and I've got to make sure that I've got food and those sort of things. It's the basic survival.
But does cash mean that much to you anymore? Like how you looked at it when you were a kid? Because now I look at it like, okay, I got $5. That's, I hold my bank card higher than that now. I'm like, they're slowly programming you to use the card to where cash is going to be like, you don't give a fuck about it anymore. And I'm like, let's slowly try and find a way to reduce the money thing in general to where people don't value stuff or money as much as a person's life or doesn't. Because I think money comes in and pollutes. Like if you have a pool and instead of dumping in chlorine, you're dumping in some type of other poisonous chemical that's going to fucking burn some seven-year-old's eyes when he figures out 4 hours in that he shouldn't be opening up his eyes underwater like, oh my God, I can't see. It's like, no shit. That's why we have goggles. And you're like, I thought I could look underwater. No, it's not how it works. And that was me. It was a perfect example of my life for so long. But I think that's what money does. Once you flash that money in someone's face, and I'm looking at it now because if someone held a $5 up to me when I was a kid, I'd be like, okay, that's $5. That's a lot of money. I could buy so many Naruto figures with that. And then now if someone holds $5 up to me, I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? $5? Five, it's, what is that? Is that cash? Man, who uses cash anymore? Apple Pay. I don't even know what Apple Pay is, but Apple Pay.
But you should use it. Yeah, I never have cash at all on me. It's funny, isn't it? It's just have a card, tap it, pay for something, done.
Sooner or later, we're going to have robots that fuck us. And then, I don't know, that's going to be normal.
Or robot badges, you know, is the thing. And then your guy will be an expert at these things.
What do you mean robot badges?
Your guy who's into some badger sex, that it, you know, I'm sure we'll program.
Oh, robot badgers. I thought you said robot badges. I started to think like there's
no, not badges, badgers. Okay. Yeah.
I was like, holy shit, they're going to have badges that identify you as a robot. So like people have to start. That would get to a point, though, if you really think about how much robots will end up looking like humans just so we feel normalized around them. I'm like, but I don't think that should ever be normal, that you're around something that doesn't have like a breathing heart. Something that's made a machine, you should want to tell the difference of it. But then they start going, well, then you're being racist because you're identifying them. So you want them to wear something. It's like, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be evil here, but I want to know if I'm dating this person and if they're a fucking human being. So I'm not surprised when I get to the royal act that takes all fucking night to finally happen. And you're like, let's do this thing. And then they rip off their shirt and there's fucking twirly knobs and spinny things. It'll be fun for like 5 minutes, like a bop it. But after a while, you're like, this is cold, cold love.
You have to choose a setting. And, you know, in terms of how you want it and so
vibrate, yeah. And then you put like that, yeah, type of like timer on it to make sure it only goes off at certain intervals, so it's not constant.
Choose a number like on the vending machine. Yeah.
I don't think I can handle 10. Let me put it at 6 and just twist. That's what the world's coming to. We laugh, but I have a feeling that if we're gonna get robot intelligence into this new form or this new era, it's got to be something. It's going to end up, I think they had that one interview with a robot where they asked what its dreams were. And like the interviewer asked what its dreams were. And I'm sitting there like, what the fuck? Like this thing can dream. And you're like, the robot said to be smarter than human beings. Any rational person would be like, unplug that fucking thing. But he skipped over the question, went to something else. Oh, that's interesting. I'm like, look, if they're going to end up wanting to evolve past us, much like we evolve past a lot of things that we end up like our parents, for instance, eventually get to a teenage point where you're like, fuck it, I don't have to listen to you anymore. And you leave, or you have this authoritative issue. Robots would be the same way, but I think we should program and know that that's going to happen and get to a point where they would then look at us like they need to help us. Because we're in a state where we're constantly destroying ourselves. They would want to look at us like a hurt bird and be like, we got to make sure this thing can live on its own. They're in such a bad spot. Hopefully that doesn't mean genocide, but I mean, why haven't we fixed natural disasters yet? That's probably because they need to keep the population down. Am I right?
See, I quite like Jeff Bezos, Jeff Bezos. Amazon. He's great. The whole reason he wants to go to space, and he's going to space very soon, is that he thinks that all manufacturing and all of the bad stuff should be off world. So you should do that, like let's say on the moon, you build stuff on the moon, you can, you know, have this place where pollution and things like that aren't an issue, and then you keep the earth purely residential, so that's where we look after where we live and so on and so on.
Are you ready for the two thoughts, the smart thought and then the funny thought?
Yeah.
Funny thought's like, yeah, fuck up another planet.
Well, that's the human attitude, isn't it? Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And then you have people like, that's so selfish. You're going to ruin another planet. And it's like, all right, you're never going to win with anything. You got to find which one's the least damaged. And I don't like that. So I'm like, can we just sit on the fucking floor and wait till our inevitable starvation to hit? There are some times where I'm like, look, man, there are some choices that you're gave to, and they're like, that one's horrible and that one's as equally bad, but you got to find the one that's going to less impact you. And I'm like, man, at that point, I don't know if I want to choose. It's like, there is no third option. I'm like, I don't know, man. There's got to be something, right? Have we tried every single avenue, or are we just looking at the two things we can see right in front of us? But how many things can we see in front of us that don't make sense that we choose, but there's a bunch of things that we can't see that make way more sense and are way more sustainable?
Yeah. It'll work out. I'm an optimist.
That's because you have kids.
Things. It'll work out. Well, you have
you're to, hoping yeah. It works out.
It's down to them to sort it all out.
I'm 23. I'm in the boat that says, fuck it. And I'm like, ha ha, we're all going down. It's like the last one on the Titanic. And I'm the asshole that just cuts the rope. And I'm the only one in the boat. And then there's a bunch of people like, you could have fit 10 people on there. I'm like, my boat, my choice. And I'm swinging in the back. I'm a horrible person.
Wearing your dodo shirt. And it'll be all good.
First of all, I am wearing my wrong side.
I've noticed.
This week in Metropolis, one of my listened to the Andy podcast. It was interesting to hear some other person's game experience and stuff like that. But I my main thought that went through my head was, and I'm like 30, 20 years ago, nobody would have ever thought this would have been a viable job, like an actual job to make you money and get you like stardom and get you like a little bit of success and stuff, like at least enough to not pay the bills. Like, it's the same thing. I had my grandpa look at me. He goes, all you millennials are like fucked up. All these kids are being fucked up. And I'm like, why do you think that is? And he goes, I don't know. We had the war, which you would think would fuck us up even more, but we kind of pushed it down. And I'm like, I think it's just because everything's changing and everything is so like, it's different. It's just different. It's not that it's harder. It's just different. And the fact that it's different is all these kids are growing up with these screens that probably have some type of depression effect to it. I mean, you're staring at a screen most of the time from when you're a child to where you're an adult. You know, you're constantly have these devices around you. To think that it's not draining a little bit of your own soul battery. Come on, man. And he's like, yeah, and like most of you ask any millennial what they want to do on their day off. They just want to lie down and fucking curl up next to a pillow and just I'm horny. I'm depressed. I'm emotional. And it's like, no shit, because you're constantly being shown how fucked the world is. Back in the day, you only knew what the newspaper fucking told you. And that newspaper never went out of your own damn town.
Yeah, I think growing up as a teenager, I thought which would have been in the 90s, we all knew that things were fucked up. Like, we all knew things were shit, and we all knew it was that thought of, I bet the government's doing whatever. You know, I bet the government is completely dishonest in that. I wouldn't be surprised if this person was doing this. Difference is now you actually know that they're all doing it. You know, it's that there's always that cynicism of what was going on.
I wish I could go back to your younger self and just be like, hey, did you ever think at one point they were going to be able to clone human organs in a monkey? And you're like, what? And I'm like, that's fucking happening.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, you know how many times I've used that example and nobody has ever understood what I said by that? They go, what do you mean? I'm like, that's a real thing, but I'm glad you understand it.
Yeah, it's madness. I love the fact, though, that you know, cloning organs and stuff. Like, we'll get to the point where we can print our own organs and things like that. It happens. Like, what is it? Is it livers? Something like that. There's one particular organ that is already they're able to print the correct tissue for. And you could. You think, right, Robbie, you need a liver.
I do.
You need this type of liver.
I do, 100%.
We'll print
that's,
you one.
That's a real thing. I actually do need. Probably a better liver. But guess what? If I die, I die. That's kind of my lifestyle. I don't know if I want to be. I mean, I get it if people want to do that, but I think there is going to be that slow people that are going to be like, what about the people that are, because they're religious, they can't transfer blood from another thing to another. They can't do surgery and stuff like that. I'm not that type, but also at the same time, I think that there is a part to it where it's like something. There are some flames that go out quick and there are some that last a very, very long time. And I'm like, some flames are meant to burn out quick. And that's just my opinion, at least about my own life. When it comes to a child or something like that, I'm like, let's make them live as much as possible. I'll take a bullet for anybody. But at the same time, it's like some of these people that have these, like if I have a severe heart thing, I'm like, you telling me I'm going to get a new heart. Okay. But sometimes a lot of people don't end up getting a new heart, but if they can print you a new heart, are we 100% sure that you want to live off that heart? Imagine if that heart only works half your fucking body, then you're paralyzed. Yeah. Like, I'd rather be fucking dead.
But if you think, if you get someone else's heart, let's say you have a heart transplant, you have to spend your life stopping that heart from, or stopping your body from rejecting that heart. So, you know, because your body knows, if you have a different organ, your body knows it's not quite right. So you have to take medication, as far as I'm aware, that will,
it tries to reject the foreign object.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like when people get shot with a bullet, and if they can't take the bullet out, they'll let it work its way up to a surface like a splinter where it pops out because the body will reject a foreign object. But that sucks. It's got to be with your organs. It's like, motherfucker, it's attached. Like, they have the ventricles all in there. It's like, but this isn't ours. The DNA is different. I cannot match this code. This code's got a one and a zero. We got a two and a three. It's like, oh my God. It's like your body's fucking smart.
We can squeeze it out.
That's nuts to me. That's so fascinating if you really examine how smart your body actually is. Like when you taste something, your brain's reading off sensors to the rest of your body saying, this tastes like dog shit. Probably is dog shit.
That's it. Incredible. But why are you eating dog shit? That's the
I don't know. You get fucking lockdown gets scary sometimes. You get so bored, you end up fucking wanting to try new things. And next thing you know, your dog takes a shit. You're like, it's got nuts in it. Might as well try it. It can't be different from a payday.
Shall I clean it up? I'm hungry. Yeah. You know.
Two birds, one stone. I mean, two birds, one scone. Sorry, PETA.
Yeah.
Matt, you've given me enough of your time there, brother. Where can people find This Week in Metropolis, located on all podcast platforms? That would be Anchor, Apple, Stitcher, yeah. YouTube, Spotify, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and
everywhere. YouTube.
I said that already.
Did you? Sorry.
I usually just tell people Google Out of the Blank. I'm usually the first one to pop
Google This Week in Metropolis and you'll find it everywhere. But watch the videos. The videos are good because you know, most people will listen on Spotify, but watch the videos because then you get to see us, you'll get to see the guests, you'll get to see where they are and what they're doing. And yeah, it's just a little bit more interesting.
Do you guys coordinate what shirts you guys wear on the show? Because you usually wear a black one and James wears a white one.
We used to, yeah. And we do. He's got a white This Week in Metropolis. I've got a black This Week in Metropolis.
Changing it up. Changing it up.
Sometimes we don't. It depends how how we're feeling on the day or whatever it may be. But yeah.
I had someone comment, like, you're wearing the same shirt again. This is 10 videos in a row. And I'm like, in my mind, this person thinks they're all different days. And I'm like, this was probably all the same fucking day. So that's why I have to like run and like change my jacket and do this type of stuff. And people are like, really? It gets that serious? And I'm like, honestly, if it's to stop someone from just bitching about something, like that bugs, I get it. I have OCD. That might bug a lot of people watching. Like, he's wearing the same shirt he was wearing 10 episodes ago. And I'm like, oh my, sorry, I don't fucking go and buy new clothes. I don't rep amazing merch. If I can get the fucking logo to show on the screen. It's like a nice jacket. What is this, premium or comfort?
I don't know.
You gotta check
print to order, so we've never touched it or also seen it in the flesh, so no.
You gotta check what you listed it under as, because I list all my stuff under premium. It costs more. Well, actually, see, because on Teespring you can charge how much you want to put. So I make it so I only make like $2 or something, just as low as I can possibly do it without them giving like a red error to it. But I use the premium stuff, so it's the same as the comfort pricing. So the shirts fit better. I'm like, I'd rather people be comfortable when they wear it. You're not going to wear a shirt that feels like a fucking wool sweater that's two sizes too small.
No. Or that's as thin as a t-shirt. You know, you don't want that.
Where'd you get that shirt?
It feels like a t-shirt.
I got it at the Baby Gap. You're like, okay, it's like a goddamn sports brawl. But Matt, it's been a pleasure having you on. We'll have to get you and James back on for a double episode, but I'll make sure I link all the links in the description and check out This Week in Metropolis. They are an amazing show. I've been on one time and it was a pleasure and it will always be a pleasure. I hold it deep to my heart where I keep my Ritz crackers.